Matthew Bronson.
Well, we have just had a conversation with Dr. Alan Firestone of El Pueblo Health Services, and we're going to continue the conversation with Rick Odessa, the managing director, CEO, the guy who gets it all done, non-medically speaking, at El Pueblo, and talk about going forward. I have a good friend in Florida who wrote his first album. It's called 50 Years. It took him 50 years to do that. So this will be 40 years. We heard the history from Dr. Firestone, and now you've been with El Pueblo for 13 years?
No, seven years.
7 years.
Yeah.
I give you a field promotion.
There you go.
And as part of, you know, the administrative side, the day-to-day operations, making sure that the providers are here to see the patients and get the patients in to be seen, you had to have done some research on what happened from the beginning. And how do you feel El Pueblo is different today than 32 years ago?
Well, that's a tough one because I wasn't here 32 years ago. I first came to know El Pueblo probably about 15 years ago. And I think what's different now is we're a bit smaller size-wise. I think 15 years ago, they probably had a couple more providers. But the reality is there's a provider shortage in the state of New Mexico, and there's a provider shortage in the country. So I think we're trying to do more with less. Our staffing model right now supports us seeing about 5,000 patients a year, about 13,000 patient visits. So
that's a large number for, like you said, very few providers.
It is. It really is.
But that's kind of the way business is going over the past 20 years, big Fortune 100, Fortune 50 companies, we're going to let go 10,000 people, 5,000 people, and they just move on, and everyone just takes on more, which I guess is a bigger economic question, what do you do with all these extra people, but you're providing the same services as you did with the larger staff, and still have capacity to do more.
Yes, we definitely have the capacity to grow. And, you know, our focus really is on access. We want to take care of you if you're an existing patient. If you're a new patient, we'd like to get you in a timely manner, which at times can be difficult, but we've taken measures to try and assure if you're a hospital follow-up and you need to be seen within 2 days, we're going to get you seen within 2 days. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, blocked off slots every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon just for that purpose. And I think that's important. People have a hard time accessing their medical care in this day and age. I know it sounds crazy, but we hear it all the time from folks that drive up from Albuquerque to see us because they can't be seen in Albuquerque.
Well, in this day and age, what is the industry standard or the area standard for a reasonable time to make an appointment and see your primary care doctor?
You know, it's interesting because you would think that the insurance companies, and maybe specifically the Centennial Care Plan, which is our state Medicaid expansion plan, would somewhat want to dictate what's a reasonable amount of time. There's really no standard that's set by any of the insurers. There's certainly no standard set by the state for the people that are on Centennial Care. What we're told is that in the greater Albuquerque metro area, for a new patient, it's anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 months, depending on the practice.
Okay. And within El Pueblo?
Within El Pueblo, we try to maintain a schedule that will get new patients in within 2 weeks, and we generally succeed in that regard.
And I think that's important for people to understand, even though we're talking about El Pueblo, 40 years going forward, but being a person who does go to the doctor at least once a year, if not more, everybody has at least one other thing that happens during the year, it's different now than before the current health environment. And you can discuss that and argue that one way or the other all day long. But as a patient, it just happened to me a couple of months ago, because I happen to like El Pueblo and come here, like your providers. it was on my calendar, and I dragged it forward every couple of days, make an appointment for El Pueblo, make an appointment for El Pueblo. Then I called, and it was, okay, you know, Dr. Hartman can see you in 2 weeks. And I'm like, my Lord, 2 weeks. As a consumer, I need to go, if I want to have a regular non-emergency visit, I have to schedule at least 2 weeks. I do my dental cleaning 6 months, 7 months in advance. And that's just a reality we all have to get used to. And that it's almost a scheduling issue than a medical providing issue.
Oh, it definitely is a scheduling issue. And I think, you know, I do the same thing. I schedule my dental cleanings every 3 months, and I schedule them 3 months in advance. The issue really becomes, if it's a routine visit, I think it's important that now that you're aware, go ahead and get it scheduled as soon as you're thinking of it. The other thing we try and do, if you called up and said, I've got XYZ going on, can the doctor see me today? The doctor's going to be told, hey, Matthew just called. Can we see him today? And here's what he needs to be seen for. So we have capacity to deal with stuff that comes up on a serious acute basis. But yeah, if it's a routine visit, we encourage people to give themselves a little time and schedule it.
It takes longer than that to get an appointment to have your dog groomed.
Yeah,
definitely. But for some reason, we have this idea that, well, I grew up the doctor coming to the house.
Yeah, I did as well.
And I guess that's never going to happen again.
No.
Unless it's hospice.
We still do some occasional house visits that there's from time to time a need for someone to be seen in the home.
That's a good segue, Rick. And this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson. We're talking to Rick Adessa, the Managing Director of El Pueblo Health Services. We're celebrating 40 years here. For people who come to El Pueblo and have, you know, for a little while or their whole lives, it's their doctor. For other folks who are within your footprint, that would be convenient or not horribly inconvenient to come here. How is El Pueblo different from going to different types of practices? And are they delineated that way?
Well, we're a primary care provider, you know, and so we're going to take care of pretty much any issue that comes up for you. We're obviously not specialty care providers. Right. So if you need a referral for your eyes or you've got a bad belly and you need to go to gastro, we'll coordinate all that particular care for you. I think
non-911 emergency. There's no blood, there's no flames.
Yeah, yeah. That's I mean, we get it from time to time. We've had people come wandering in with you know, big old gashes in their arms.
Oh, sure.
And we kind of tidy them up and make sure the ambulance is here to, you know, transport them for appropriate
it's a good
care.
Place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so convenient.
People know we're here, and they'll just wander in with, you know, different types of ailments. But for our established patients, you know, we've got, you know, when you come in and if you're being followed for your diabetes, you know, generally we're going to see you every 3 months. We're going to make sure you get your A1C. We're going to make sure we check your blood glucose. If you're hypertensive, you know, that's really going to depend on, you know, what your status is. We have plenty of people that just wander in to get their blood pressure checked. They don't even see a doctor. They just come in, you know, one of the medical assistants will check their blood pressure, then let the provider know, hey, Rick was in, his BP was 140 over 80, so he's cruising kind of a deal.
He probably needs to see the doctor of 140 over 80.
Well, I don't know. I was sitting in
I don't practice medicine.
I was sitting in the dental chair yesterday, and mine was 144 over 87, and I told her I thought that was good considering I knew what she was going to do to me.
Yes, fear can do that. Let's talk about where the facility is located. Because we have a big footprint.
Right.
So where are we?
We're at 121 Calle del Presidente in downtown Bernalillo. We're right next to the post office.
Okay. And right next to a laundromat.
Right next to the laundromat.
Throw a load in. Come and get your blood pressure.
This place, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary of the building. And so, it, you know, 40 years, and this building, I think, will still be here 40 years from now. We might need more space by then, because I think you and I are both part of that generation that's just getting larger. And, you know, that's just the reality.
And we're also kind of talking about the next 40 years or the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned our generation. Well, your generation.
You're much younger than I know.
Yeah, that's the beauty of radio. No one knows. Are you seeing a different type of client? Are you seeing more diabetes, stuff like that, that would affect your staffing?
Well, everybody on our staff is able to treat our diabetic patients. I would say the change that I've noticed the most is that which goes along with the aging population in our country and in our state, is we're definitely seeing a growth in the number of people who are on Medicare at this point in time. Our diabetics probably represent the largest diagnosis in our clinic, probably followed by people with hypertension. We see a lot of people with high blood pressure and treat that. So,
for folks who aren't customers, I mean, other than saying, whatever you need, we got, why come to a El Pueblo, a community health service, versus one of the, like, the big box stores?
Well, I think you're going to, I think we can assure that you're going to get some personalized service here. You're not going to just be a number. This clinic, having been here as long as it has, we're seeing third and fourth generations of Bernalillo. We're probably getting close to seeing fifth generations of Bernalillo families now. So there's, you know, if you're in the town of Bernalillo, you know, we've probably seen your ma or your pa or your grandma or your aunt or your uncle or your cousins. So it's I think there's a certain element of personalization to what we do. We also can basically provide the full range of primary care services. We do have a nurse midwife if you're in need of prenatal care. We can have her take care of you. We have a psychiatric nurse practitioner. If you have behavioral health needs, which are getting harder and harder to meet in our state,
we've spoken quite a bit before we went on there. You keep mentioning the mental health nurse to me. I'm wondering if I should, if you're giving me a hint.
No, okay. Not for you.
No, solid as a rock. One thing that I have found accidentally by, you know, coming here, that you do the blood work here.
Correct.
That saves me a lot of time.
Well, we have a couple things regarding blood work. We have a draw station with Tricor Laboratory, so we have a phlebotomist here Monday through Friday, 8 to 12. There are certain lab tests that we're able to do in-house, so right. We can do your A1C in-house. We obviously can do your blood glucose, your analysis, your ProTime, if you're on Coumadin or one of those types of a drug, we can do those in-house. If you happen to come in the afternoon and the phlebotomist is already gone today, then we can draw your blood and Tricor picks up from us like twice every day. So we can get your blood work taken care of for you. So it saves a lot of people a trip driving into Albuquerque or Rio Rancho.
If I'm having an issue, I mean, other than an annual when you're going to draw my blood, but if I'm being treated for something and the provider, they want to draw blood, they want to see something.
Right.
I don't want to wait 3 days. I want to know right now.
Right.
And that's a great service.
Yeah. And a lot of those, you can get the results immediately. I mean, some of them, depending on the type of blood work, you're going to have to wait for the lab results to come back.
Now, because I'm going to call El Pueblo more of a boutique type of medical center and community-based. Mm-hmm. And more personalized service, as you said. How does that affect me as a patient on just my, I got a boo-boo, I don't feel good, it's my annual. I'm used to burn and churn kind of doctoring. Not that I didn't get good doctoring, but I just always felt like I have to speak quickly, I have to get everything out, because mm-hmm. I'm on the clock here. It's almost mm-hmm. like playing chess with those clocks back and forth.
Right.
How is that? Is that just part of medical practice, or do you all take a different philosophy?
I think we take a very different philosophy, and there's not any high productivity standard. So I think we're pretty different from a lot of practices nowadays. I mean, I've heard horror stories from providers that have worked in other places where there's a push to see 30 patients a day. We just don't do that. You know, we do our best to make sure that everybody gets the attention that they need. I think we're different that way.
And I can only speak from my own experience, and I've probably had more in time in doctor's offices or waiting rooms than the average person. I'm going to guess. I don't know. And very, very good healthcare that I've had in different states. And they've always been part of the larger medical practice or associated with a hospital or something like that. I've had horrible wait times. And I always wondered if you're on this tight schedule, you've got to get them in and out. Why would it take an hour and a half to go just be checked out? And I was trying to justify it in my mind going, well, the doctor probably had a very serious patient and he didn't know it was going to take so long. But that can't happen, you know, 20% of the time. Whereas over the past few years coming to El Pueblo, and I know you have people who are sick here who come in before me that probably need special attention. I don't think I've ever waited anywhere near an hour and a half or even near an hour.
Yeah.
So how do you give this personalized service yet still keep everybody on a schedule?
Well, I think I've mentioned to you that I'm kind of an operations guy at heart.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with how you schedule, you know. Don't schedule willy-nilly, you know. Plan your day for the providers, and I think that makes a difference. The other thing we really try and do is we do get people walking in with some like things that need immediate attention, and generally what we'll do in those circumstances, we'll let you know as soon as you walk in the door. Matthew, the doc's running behind today. We've had an emergency that we've had to deal with. You know, you can hang out and wait, or we'll reschedule you right now, kind of a deal. So we try and make sure we communicate with you if one of the providers is running behind so that you're not sitting there wondering what the heck is going on.
Now, you know, Rick, I think that you hit the nail on the proverbial head that in all of my experiences doing different kinds of work, it's communication with the person I'm working with or for, mm-hmm. or the customer. As long as you tell people what's going on, they're usually pretty cool about it.
Yeah, and I think that's important.
And it happens so little.
Yeah.
It's like the old Lily Tomlin, we're the phone company and we don't care. You know, we're your doctor and we'll see you when we want to see you. And that's not the case at El Pueblo.
Right.
All right, you're in the heart of Bernalillo. It's almost like a tire store ad. You know, you're convenient from two exits off of I-25, and you have plenty of parking and nice facilities. Are your clients the folks of Bernalillo, the 6,000 or 8,000 people who live here? Is that most of who you see?
Well, about half of the people we see every year come from the town of Bernalillo. And then the remainder are pretty much split between Placitas and Rio Rancho. We do see a lot of people from Albuquerque zip codes coming up. Again, I think because they can't get appointments down there. So they're willing, you know, they hop on the interstate. It's easy for them to drive up here.
Oh, 20, 25 minutes.
And think about the people that are coming here from Rio Rancho. If they're living like on the west side of Rio Rancho and they've got to go downtown for a doctor's appointment.
Right.
It's going to take them twice as long as it is for them to come to see us in Bernalillo.
So these are not just one-time checkups. These are established customers, repeat guys. Well, then, so 50% are people from Bernalillo. Mm-hmm. But what percentage of the people in Bernalillo do you see?
Oh, that's a good question. So we see about 2,500 people from the town of Bernalillo in any given year.
Around a third.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do you get the numbers up?
Well, I think...
And that ties to the big question of the next 40 years.
There must be some people that are going somewhere else. My biggest fear is that some people aren't accessing healthcare. I mean, with the advent of the Affordable Care Act and with Medicaid expansion in our state, everybody just assumed that everybody was going to get insurance. I don't think that's happened. I think we still have in our state, something like 150,000 people who are eligible for the Medicaid expansion that have not signed up. And then the other thing that you see is a lot of people, they go out to the health exchange and they look at what it's going to cost them. And I think a lot, it just doesn't get publicized, and it's just my opinion, but I think a lot of people look at, should I pay the penalty on my tax return or pay the premium for a high deductible policy that I may or may not use because I'm like 28 years old.
And so, you're bulletproof at 28.
I think that's part of it.
So, well, compared to 58, I was bulletproof at 28.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a big difference. And the whole mindset's very different when you're younger.
But it's also so. the 58, 68-year-old now who didn't live in a big metropolitan area, and it wasn't part of the family culture to go to the doctor. Yeah, all right, your arm is dangling because the thrasher got caught in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to the doctor.
Yeah.
But, all right, I got a cold.
Lump and bump. I'm staying home. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they know traditional American and just things to help you get better. Here, make a tea out of this and you're good.
And I think we're trying to do a better job of getting the word out that we're here. I mean, we can't assume that people know that we're here.
Right.
And we can't assume that people know that anybody can come here. We accept all insurance plans. It's a non-issue if you... with your insurance with us. And if you don't have insurance, nobody's denied access to care based on their ability to pay. So,
And this might be a little bit of edgy ground, but never stopped me before. But, you know, Bernalillo is an old land-grant Spanish community. And now over the past 30, 40, 50 years, 60, I don't know how long, but people from other parts of the country... other parts of the state are moving into Rio Rancho and Placitas and even into Bernalillo. They might feel that El Pueblo Health Services, community health service, may not be someplace where they should consider.
Right.
So how do we tell them other than just going, no, it's a regular doctor's office?
Yeah. I think it's you know, having been here for 40 years, it's pretty easy for us to kind of rest on our laurels. But I think when you talk about what are we going to do for the future, I think we just have to do a better job of letting folks out there know that we're here and that there's no reason for you to drive past us, you know, to go somewhere else.
Right.
Because we can take care of you. We've got the capacity to do everything you need. And if we can't do it, we'll hook you up with the correct specialist to get you the specialty care that you need.
And for many
as well.
People who live in the area, who are not current patients, but they probably drive up and down, was it Camino del Pueblo?
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
So on your way home, come in, get your blood pressure checked or whatever. Get a free Pepsi with a...
No, we're not going to give you a Pepsi.
Not good for you. On the, as a managing director and operations guy, and it's all services. You know, a lot of people, grocery stores now have pharmacists. That wasn't long, long time ago. Didn't have that.
Correct.
And you get your oil changed at some of them. And is there a piece of equipment or a service or something that would allow you to expand that is kind of on the board's mind, like an MRI machine or?
Well, an MRI would be probably cost prohibited.
eBay.
They're expensive. eBay.
Is there a medical eBay?
We do partner with Assured Imaging. And we bring in a mobile mammogram van once a month, and we park it. It's a huge van. We park it out there in the parking lot, and it's handicap accessible, and we can do mammograms in there and DEXA scans as well in there for bone densitometry, I think is the correct term for that.
Once a month. Is it on the same day of the week?
No, it's usually on a Friday. Yeah, it's usually on a Friday, and it's kind of a big deal when it's out there. And we actually have people just walk up. They see this big old van, and we put a sign out there that says mammogram event today, and we have people just walk up and say, oh, I need a mammogram. So,
and how do you promote it?
We'll do an ad in the signpost when we're doing the mammogram event. So we have a regular ad in the signpost every month, and not every month will we put the mammogram event in there, but generally we try to put that ad in there if we can time it out correctly.
And it's... Who reads the mammogram?
They have radiologists
right
on
there.
Staff. No. It's transmitted electronically.
Okay. So telemedicine.
It's definitely telemedicine. Yeah.
And speaking of telemedicine, are you associated? Because Sandoval County is huge. Are you associated with other clinics where people can do telemedicine back to El Pueblo?
We are not a telemedicine site per se. Most of the telemedicine stuff is driven through Project Echo
right.
at the University of New Mexico. And we're not one of their sites at this point.
Something like that, is that a business plan? I mean, are you going to grow merely by being around and having word of mouth, or by expanding your product offerings?
One of the things that we're seriously looking at is dental services. We received a federal grant a couple years back to partner with UNM Dental Medicine and UNM College of Nursing to develop an interprofessional collaborative practice. And we chose to do that around access to dental care because access to dental care in this town has been difficult at best. Does seem to be a couple new dental providers in the community. But again, dental insurance is a whole different animal.
Yes.
And most people don't have it in our experience. So
it doesn't seem to cover as much percentage-wise as health insurance.
It most definitely does not, in my experience. That would be my experience personally.
And mine too.
Yeah, it is what it is. So we are spending some serious time considering what it would take to have a dentist out here at least a couple days a week, along with a dental hygienist, because prevention.
Can you do prophylaxis dental cleanings without having a dentist in the next room?
I believe so, but again, I would only say that from personal experience because I just got my teeth cleaned a couple days ago, and I know my dentist was in Alaska. He was not in the room. So right. I'm assuming I don't know for certain.
But as a practice, the dentist is there, but I didn't know if you could offer dental cleanings without having a resident doctor.
Yeah, I really don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
Kind of like the mammogram.
Yeah.
They don't have the radiologist there.
Right. But you shoot them the picture and then they read it. Yeah, we're very excited about the prospect of doing it. I'm pretty much have that on the boards for within the next 12 months. And because of our relationship with UNM School of Dental Medicine, I've got people that I can talk to there, so I'm not having to like reinvent the wheel
right.
when we get to the point that we're ready to jump in and do this. So.
Now, there is some kind of gray line relationship with UNM?
Well, during the period of the grant, which ended last year,
I don't mean just dental. I mean, in general, El Pueblo as a healthcare, you work with...
Well, yeah, we... during the grant, we were working very closely with the School of Dental Medicine and the College of Nursing. The nurse midwife has been with us for 5 years, but she contracts with us through the UNM College of Nursing, as does the psychiatric nurse practitioner. The other very close connection with UNM, and this really goes back to Dr. Firestone's time, is that Dr. Hartman and all the other providers in the clinic, precept medical students, our nurse practitioners, precept nurse practitioner students. When Sherry was here, she would precept physician assistant students. So we have a lot of students from UNM rotate through our clinic.
So that's something we can look for in the future.
Definitely.
You also mentioned when we were kind of doing the pre-interview, a patient portal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a portal, but a portal.
A portal.
Mm-hmm. What is that, and why do you want to initiate that now after 40 years?
Well, I think it's the future.
It's not plastics.
It's not patient plastic. Portal. It's a patient portal. It will allow us to send you your lab results electronically. It's an encrypted VPN system, so the only person that would have access to it would be you. You would set up your username and password. We would not control that. You'll be able to use it to make appointments. You'll be able to use it to message your provider. We're hoping eventually we could have like new patient information on there so that you could fill out all the forms before you even hit the door. So you don't have to sit in the waiting room for 10 minutes filling out the paperwork. So I think there's a lot of pluses. I also think that we're going to see a big push from the federal government to have that ability in all medical practices. The other thing that it does is it facilitates a messaging system with our providers and other providers in the community through a secure system.
Right.
So
information sharing.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a big push from the feds coming really soon to assure that we can communicate with the doctor in Albuquerque, or we can communicate with the hospital almost real time.
Right.
But definitely we've got the ability. We're going to refer you for an eye appointment. We can send the ophthalmologist what we're concerned about from your medical record directly to them. And then they, hopefully, because this is always the problem, that we get the report back after you've seen the doctor about what they found.
Sure.
So I think it's good. I think it's really good stuff going forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because as a patient, I think it's a great idea. And I've often wondered, being a little cynical. So I come in, my annual checkup, part of that's the blood work. Then often there's a follow-up for the doctor, not necessarily here, just over my life, where they just basically tell you what the report said and said, all right, you know, your iron's a little low, this is a little high. Like, well, why do I need to generate another visit charge, even though if I'm insured, I'm not necessarily paying?
Right.
Just email it over to me and say, stop eating so many Krispy Kremes or something.
Well, I think generally, if in my experience, and I think with our provider group, if you've got abnormal labs, they're going to want to talk to you.
Yes.
Whether that's via a phone call and say, hey, Matthew, let's check out this, and that. You know, I think if it's probably significant, they're going to want to bring you back in, because then they're going to probably want to talk to you about, okay, we need to order this test and that test.
Or automatically just refer you because of this.
They could also. I mean, I think a lot of that is going to evolve around style.
Right.
Your style as a patient, our style as a practice. We know with Matthew, this lab value was not correct, and he knows why it's not correct because we've told him. We're just going to refer him out now, that kind of a thing. We'll see how that plays out. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think.
Or schedule me for one of the mental health visits to find out why I'm not.
We could do that as well.
It adds a layer of efficiency. So even though you may be losing some potential billable hours, you're using your provider resources more effectively.
Well, yeah, and it's not about billable hours. It's really about what's best for the patient, you know. And if it's, you know, if we can make it more convenient for you, if we can make it easier for you to access the care you need, whether it's here or down the road, that's the best thing to do.
Certainly. So it's 40 years. There's a party. Got to have a party.
Yeah.
What is the 40-year anniversary? Is that silver, stone?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I did 25 was...
A saline bag?
Yeah, I have no idea what 40... Okay. I should look that up. Maybe it's like...
Sure.
I think it's ruby or something like that.
Blood rubies.
Yeah. I should know, because I just had my 40th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think I gave my wife silver for the 25th, and she said, I don't know. I didn't know you were a traditionalist. I said, I'm not. I just got lucky.
You got lucky? 40 years. And 40 years for El Pueblo. So where's the party?
The party's going to be in Rotary Park right here in the town of Bernalillo on Saturday, September 24th. From noon to 4, and we're looking forward to
the public is welcome.
Everybody's welcome, absolutely.
Even the non-public.
The non-public is welcome. But, you know, we're going to have some music. We're going to have some refreshments. We're going to have some people talk a little bit about, you know, their experiences here at El Pueblo.
You going to have a blood pressure machine?
No, we're not. You know,
a jolly jumper?
I don't. No jumpers. No jumpers. The liability associated with that is way
that runs up business. things.
We debate it whether or not like we should do like blood sugars, you know. But I don't want you, Matthew, standing next to that piece of cake, and I have to tell you your blood sugar's 400. Don't eat the cake, Matt. So we decided we're just gonna have.
But there will be refreshments.
There's definitely going to be refreshments, music, and some music. We're coordinating with the mariachis from Bernalillo High School.
We're
coordinating with some of the food classes at Bernalillo High School to help us with creating some of the refreshments, as well as helping us serve the refreshments. So, and you know, we will have invited guests, and hopefully some of them will show up and speak. So,
but I assume the local dignitaries will
exactly,
be coming out.
Exactly, and maybe some of our friends from Washington, hopefully. So,
D.C.?
Yes.
Would come out for this?
We're hoping.
That would be wonderful.
They're invited, so.
You want to drop any names?
No. I don't want to do that, but we will invite, you know,
okay.
You know, our representatives and our senators.
None of the dignitaries' last name begins with an O?
No.
Okay. So no Onassis.
No Onassis.
He's gone, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah. She is, too. Yeah. So.
Okay. Next, we're going to get to the medical director.
Great.
Dr. Stephen Hartman.
Great.
But from a management perspective, which might be different from a medical perspective, but maybe not. We'll see. What's the one thing you would like to see change in the next 2 years? You know, as a manager, what's your number one on your to-do list?
Provide dental services. I want dental in here.
Okay.
I think that's really important. You can ask Dr. Hartman that too. I mean, I would love to have dental services. I would love to see us expand our capacity for behavioral health, because that's a huge gaping hole, both in the community and in the state at large. And I think, you know, to the extent that we could bring in a behavioral health specialist on a more regular basis than the 2 days a week that we currently have the psychiatric nurse practitioner, I think that would be huge. But I'm going to start with dental because, you know, through the work that we did with UNM on the interprofessional grant, we identified that there were gaping holes in people's access to dental care in this community. Right. And so that's my number one.
And is that
priority.
A trend nationally also in community health services?
Well, some community health centers have dental services. They do provide dental services. Not all of them do. It's not, quote-unquote, a required service for a community health center. Generally, your required services for a community health center are really the primary care services that you're going to do, you know, well child checks and immunizations, which we already do, that you're going to do prenatal care and postpartum care, which we already do, that you're basically going to do wellness exams for people and deal with acute stuff, which we already do.
Right.
So I think the dental piece is the component that we're kind of most focused on right now, although the behavioral health piece is really important.
And in your tenure here in 7 years, as we talked about, your number one goal was to get the center, the clinic, into the black.
Financially stable,
and that's happened.
Yes.
Other than that, do you have something that you haven't been able to achieve that you still want, or like your biggest failing? It's like a job interview, isn't it? Where you want to be in 5 years?
Well, you know, we're a federally qualified health center. We have the designation of a federally qualified health center. But we also have the tag to that is lookalike. So we're an FQHC lookalike, which means we jump through all of the hoops that are required of us by the Bureau of Primary Health Care, but we don't get what's called a 330 grant. So we have applied to be a new access point. That's the Fed terminology for what a new grantee would be. And our application is currently in. Were that application to be granted and funded, we would be able to, without any problem, hire a dentist, hire a hygienist, hire a behavioral health specialist, hire a registered nurse. Then my problem would become I'm probably going to run out of room here, and so we are going to go up, or some of us are going to go out, but that'll be an okay problem to have if we get there.
Once you get that grant, is that forever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not like I got to worry about this every year.
No, no. What we have to worry about every year, I'm already worrying about because I'm already jumping through all of those hoops. And it just becomes a function of where does the Bureau of Primary Health Care in Washington think they want to spend that money during the next funding cycle.
Right. And for us folks who live in the area or who are current customers or will become customers or just want El Pueblo to survive, is there anything that we can do to help move that grant along?
No, it's really tied up in the Washington, D.C. System. I guess I could say bureaucracy, but it's really the grants are reviewed by, they're basically peer reviewed. So that's the scary part. It's like people like me reviewing them. So that's really frightening.
You seem at least minimally qualified, Rick.
but I'm actually on the reviewer list. I get asked to review, but you have to disclose conflicts of interest. And every time I've been asked to review, I've known somebody in the state because, you know, geographically we may seem like a big state, but in the community health center environment, I've been involved with them for, 14 years now. So even, you know, if my buddy down in Roswell is applying for the grant, I have to disclose that I know Seferino Montano. I can't read that grant.
Because you know her.
Because I know him, yeah. Yeah. Because I know him, yeah, yeah.
But such a small community, everybody would know everybody.
I know, and then they just have to, you know, they have to go to the next person on the list. When I had one time I had to disclose that I knew a former colleague of mine who now runs a community health center in Hawaii. I said, I know that guy. I can't read this grant, you know. So yeah, there's really not much we can do, and I feel very strongly like eventually we'll get it.
We
just don't know when. The odds are tough because we're small. You know, it seems like they...
Not small, deserving.
Smaller. We're smaller. Yeah, they have a tendency, if you look at the historical funding, they have a tendency to fund, like, in New York and California, and they kind of forget the middle part of the country. And it's just, you can see it if you look at their historical funding, you know. So we just have to face reality. But we're doing great. I think, you know, we've got an awesome group here, and... we're going to be around another 40 years. I won't be, but my hope is that whenever I'm no longer here, that, you know, the longevity piece for El Pueblo exists, and that's just been a goal of mine since I walked in the door.
Well, and you probably know better than I that with medical advances, you may be here in 40 years.
Ooh, I'd be 103.
There you go.
I'm not sure about that.
You may be here, but not know that you're here.
There you go.
Well, this part of the conversation about El Pueblo celebrating its 40th year, we've been speaking with Rick Odessa about the management side of El Pueblo. He is the managing director. And then we're going to continue on with Dr. Stephen Hartman, the medical director. So stay tuned, and we will continue in just a few minutes.